Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in Jesus' name. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we open your word this morning, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward and be with us, to give us not only guidance, Father, but to give us a better revelation of this, your word, and the truth, so that we cannot be deceived by mankind. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You know, we had started Matthew 13. We didn't get too awful far, but it's also a very long chapter with 58 verses. Well, we made it through 33. So we're going to be picking up here this morning with verse 34. We're in a place where Jesus is teaching everyone by parable. Now, we've been through several of the parables. We've been through the parable of the sower. And the parable of the wheat and the tares. The parable of the mustard seed, the parable of the leaven. Now here in 34, it says, all these things speak Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now, here in 36, just when Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Now, they're just now asking about that. And you see, that was about the second one that he spoke to them. But now they're wanting the clarification of it. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. 38. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. He's putting it just about as plain as it can be explained here to his disciples. 39. The enemy that sowed them, in other words, the enemy that sowed the wicked there, is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. Now, 40. As therefore tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. Now you see, he's letting us know what is coming at the end of the world. Now I told you there'll be even what they call a great white throne judgment. Now, 41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Those that do sin. 42. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You see, you're not going to just disappear. No. You're going to be there in the pain is going to cause wailing, crying, and gnashing of teeth. Pain will be so great. 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. He broke it down for his disciples, which also broke it down for you and I, to understand what he was talking about over here when he gave that. Now, here on 44, we're going back in to parables. 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Now, 45. The parable of the pearl of great price. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, you know, here he's talking in these parables, he's talking about the hidden treasure in the pearls. We know that the merchant man here in the parable is Christ, who comes to purchase and to pay for you and I through his atonement. And the sinners who shall become goodly pearls. One pearl of great price is the church, you know, for whom Christ gave his life. That was everything he had, was his life. If the pearl is Christ, or the kingdom, for whom a man must give all in order to obtain, then no one has ever yet given all that he has for Christ. While we receive him as Savior, we also progressively continue to rending areas of ourselves to him as we come to know better his will for our lives. The more we study his word, the more we grow, the more we are given to him. And that's what it's all about, because we are to be his. And we're not to be really a part of this world out here. We're not to want this world and the things in it. Most of that all belongs to Satan. Yeah. Now, he may not own it all, but he'll lead you into the worst parts of it to get you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here in 51, Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Things that are new and old. Now, 53. As it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. Now he's leaving that place. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Where'd they come from? Because you see, they really don't want to accept him. He's in his own country. 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Jose and Simeon and Judas? 56. And his sisters, are they not all with us? Which then has this man all these things? You know, that's why he tells us that those that turn against us and really don't want to listen to us are those of our own family and close friends. Because, you see, they knew us before our life changed, and they don't never want to turn loose of that. They'll always be holding that to prove that you're not who you are. 57. And they were all offered in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. He letting them know he knows why they're rejecting. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You see, when you've got unbelief and you don't have faith, there's not much work can be done with you. And this is exactly what is happening with them. You know, there's things that we don't understand today that we're working on. And when we step out of this life and into the next, we'll still not know it all until we get there. And then we're told that once we get there, pardon me, that we will know as we are known. We're going to know a lot of things then and understand a lot of things that up until that point we didn't know and understand. Does it mean we're not going to make heaven our home? No. We're told in the scripture, and we'll be getting to that one of these days. I'm not going to go there this morning. But we are told that we know everything, because if all the books were written that could be written from this one book, the world would not hold them. That is a lot of book and a lot of knowledge. See what I'm saying? But we need to stay in his word and learn everything we can so that we make heaven our home and we're not sinning against the Lord our God and doing things that is not pleasing to him. Because you see, he is our Father, our Heavenly Father. And we are to love him, and he is to be first in our life above everything else and everyone else. There's to be nothing at all before him. Now, we just finished up with chapter 13, and we'll be going in to chapter 14. There's 36 verses to it. we may not get through it. All right. Verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servant, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." Now, that Herod Tetrarch, he's also the son of Herod the Great, the ruler of the Gentile, of the Gentile. Galilee and Perea. And his ignorance of Jesus prior to this time is probably due to his self-indulgence. Think about this. Because of his luxurious lifestyle that he was living and had little contact with any of the religious figures, his guilty conscience over John's death caused him to think Jesus was John the Baptist risen from the dead. And that's what he's trying to cause people to believe. 3. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for John said unto him, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." And we know that John did. He told him straight. He wasn't to have her. He took his brother's wife. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. When Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. Now this is just a young lady. And he's promised to give her anything she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, "Give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger." She's asking for his head. Now, 9. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. He killed John to please this young girl and her mother because he had told her and made an oath that he'd give her whatsoever she asked. Just for her dancing before him. And he sent and beheaded John into prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel. And she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, He departed, sent by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude that was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. But Jesus' heart was broken because of the death of John. Because we know that he and John were also kin, true blood here on this earth. Now, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." In other words, they're hungry. Send them to where they can get them something to eat. But Jesus saith unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." Oh, here we go again. Give them to eat. They say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's all we've got." He said, "Bring them hither to me." 19. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake them, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. From 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, they filled up all this multitude, plus took up 5 baskets that was left over. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So we don't really know how many it was total. But when you stop and think about it, feeding 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And then you add their women and children in on it. Now, 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. Now he sent them and all, but now he sent them away. In 23, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In other words, the wind had got up. Now this ship's being tossed out there by the waves and all. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. He just using the seas to walk on. 26. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And a lot of things that we are facing today, we don't need to be afraid, because if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, he will take care of us. Now, 28, and Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now he's taking some steps on the water. But when he saw the wind blusterous, he was afraid. You see, that faith is gone now, because fear is hitting. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And his doubt came because he saw the wind, and fear came on him. And when fear came on him, it brought doubt, and his faith was gone. And he could no longer walk on water. Now, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." All this other that has happened, and here they are just professing him to be the Son of God. 34. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country around about, and brought unto him all that were diseased. Disease, sick and diseased. And 36. And besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. There again. Now, it's not just one like the woman with the issue of blood that day that she touched him and was healed. Now here, there were many of them touching, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. You see, we have to touch him by faith, putting our faith in him, and knowing he will answer what we ask of him if what we are asking is according to His will and the word of Almighty God. We done read that once, but we're going to be reading that several more times by the time we get through all these gospels. Think about that. All right. We're going to stop here now. We've come to the end of chapter 14. We're going to stop here. And the good Lord willing, we'll be picking up with 15 this evening and back into the Word of God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we close your Word and we thank you for your Word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray for your saints wherever they are in the world, asking the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And for Jerusalem, Father, we pray for peace for them. And Father, but even more than that, we pray that they all will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And Father, this land of ours, that the evil that is sitting in as leadership of our government and our churches be replaced, Father, with those that belong to you and that walks in righteousness, so that they can work with us, Father, and bring this land to repentance and put the Lord Jesus Christ back into every place he's been taken, most especially back in our schools. And Father, to put our government back upon the foundation it was founded, and that being your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, pray for each one that is part of this ministry, that hears this teaching, Father, and this study we do. I pray for each one of them that they walk in health, because we are healed by the stripes that Jesus bore for us. Now, Father, I pray for each one and their families. For Kenny Powers, for Dennis Lee, for Amy, her husband Tom, her son Jacob, for Bobby and Millie Johnson, for James Taylor, for Alex Stone, and for myself, and all of our family. May the Holy Spirit stay with all and work with those of our families that are walking in darkness and help to bring them out of darkness unto light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ, so that none be lost and all can make heaven their home. And Father, you know our needs. You know the needs of this ministry. Everything is in your hands, Father. And we know that you will supply our needs. We give you praise, honor, and glory. It's all yours. And we give you thanks, Father, for all that you do for us and with us. Give us strength now, Father, to be of service to you and to the Lord Jesus Christ, sharing the gospel with all that we can reach. This is my prayer this morning, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right, all. Have a good day. But walk with God, and He'll walk with you. Keep Him first in your life. All right. Have a great one. And I pray to see you at 6 p.m. this evening.